Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Rick. Just past midnight here on your Monday. And I wanted to, I keep thinking about this stupid $7,000 toilet. I keep going back. I have my own tinfoil hat stuff going on here. But I keep going back and I think, okay, number one, I don't want to hook electric up to my toilet. But number two, do I really want a toilet hooked up to Wi-Fi so it's sending all that data back to Kohler? Do I want my toilet habits shared and being able to be purchased by a third party? What I do in that bathroom is my business. No, I don't want anyone analyzing what's going into that toilet. Ugh, gross, man. Ugh. Oh, Tammy's calling in. Hey, Tammy, what's going on?
Hey, I cannot believe you're talking about toilets tonight because I was talking to a coworker this evening about a toilet. So the $7,000 one, I'll give you my little comment on that in a minute. But my point about my toilet issue is in my house, I have one of those low ones. You know, it's not...
Low flow. So it's, it's 3/4 of a gallon flush or something like that?
Well, no, it's just lower to the floor. And when you get older... I mean, I'm almost 57, and getting up and down from the toilet when you have some arthritis in the knees and stuff. So my big thing, I was telling a coworker tonight, we were kind of talking about after Christmas finances, and I said, yeah, I got a couple bills to pay off, but then my next big thing I'm going to save up for is one of those taller toilets.
Mm-hmm.
It's got, you know, it sits off the floor much higher, so you and your back do not have to go down as low to sit down. You can sit down up higher.
Yeah.
So I just can't believe you were talking about toilets. But
Tammy, you can get an extender seat or something where you can put something on the seat if you got something too low.
Well, I don't know if I should say this, but I'm using one of those kind of senior citizen type things that makes it a little taller.
Yeah, that's what you can get.
You know, it's kind of embarrassing, and you got my son's got to move it when it's time for him to go, and he's like... So I'm like, I'm telling you, son, one of these days I'm going to get one of those taller toilets, and we can both use it with ease. So,
do you have someone that'll put it in, or do you have to get someone to do it?
Well, no, I know of a good plumber because he fixed a leak in my shower. So this guy's going to be the good plumber. Now I just got to do a little researching on how much those kind of toilets run.
That's going to be the expense. But I'll tell you, it's really not that difficult to put a toilet in and out. Believe it or not.
Oh,
it's
I won't.
Really,
do that.
Not that hard. Well,
could you do that?
Yeah, I could. I mean, I've watched. I could. It's really not that difficult. I mean, I've watched a lot of videos. I've never done it myself, but this is what I do when I have a project coming up. I'll call my dad and I'll say, "How difficult is it to do this?" And he'll say, "Oh, you could do that." I know I'm pretty confident I could do something like that. This is one of those things. Oh, I could do that. I mean, it's basically just screwed in and it's placed on top of this wax ring. You just have to make sure, you know, you turn the water off and you unscrew the water line to it and you just swap them out. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Well, you're a guy. It's kind of scary for me because I'm just thinking, although I did watch a YouTube on how to light the pilot light.
Yeah.
So I did successfully do that, but...
That's nerve-wracking. Like you're... Like you have a bomb. It's almost like your bomb squad going in to do something like
right.
that, isn't it?
But the $7,000 toilet, I'm with you. I just think it's outrageously stupid. No, even if I was a millionaire, I still would not have that kind of an expensive toilet getup. It's just, you know, when the power goes out, the thing probably has a backup generator just to, you know, to jumpstart it. So...
I don't get it. It looks like a prisoner's toilet, like if you were to see it inside of a cell.
I'm going going to have to look that up and find the picture, because you've read this, you know, a prisoner toilet is pretty ugly. Like the toilets in the planes, it's just,
yeah, you're right. It's kind of like that. It's boxy.
Really?
It doesn't look like a toilet. It looks like a small laundry hamper that's on the ground. It's like low to the ground. If you didn't know better, you would walk into that bathroom and say, oh, that's weird. Do you have a freezer chest, one of those floor freezer chests in your bathroom? Like, it looks like a mini fridge. It lays low to the ground, and then it's got this little tank on the back where it looks like you have a button on the side that you would press to flush the thing, but I guess it does it all for you anyway.
But why the mood lighting in the... I don't know.
I guess if you're going to the bathroom at night, but even then a night light would be fine. But what would be the purpose of running that during the day, as if you're going to be able to enjoy it? And who goes to the bathroom with the lights off anyway?
Exactly. What, do they get a lava lamp or something provided for mood ambiance? It's just,
it's got a little touchscreen that you have to install to the wall. It hooks up to your Wi-Fi. So you better believe they're selling whatever data can come off of that to third parties.
I'm not going to go there with all this smart stuff, smart this, smart that, the smart fridge. And I write down an old-fashioned grocery list. Mm-hmm. As soon as something I get out of in the house, I got my little list handy. But it is amazing to me when I'm in the grocery store, people are calling their spouse all the time. Do we need cereal? Do we need milk? It's like, why are you going to the store unprepared?
I get it. All right, Tammy, good to hear from you. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Well, Tammy, get your tinfoil hat prepared, because after the break here, I want to talk about a couple of tech things. Google, their intentions for your home, at least based on the patents that they're seeking. That's any indication of what they may be doing. And there's also, I saw an article on Business Insider. There's a simple reason why your new smart TV was so affordable. You want to take a wild guess? Pull out your tinfoil hats now, because we're coming up next with my conspiracy thoughts, which aren't so much of a conspiracy and more of a almost certainty at this point. It's Overnight America, KMOX. So do me a favor, go to your kitchen, grab some of the cheap tinfoil, not the good stuff. This is what I tell my wife. Don't you dare bring home that generic tinfoil into our house. I have not met a brand of generic tinfoil that could hold a candle to the Reynolds brand or whatever, you know? Gotta get the real stuff. All the other stuff is just imitation junk to me. So get the good tin foil, because you're going to need it. I want you to make yourself a little hat and wrap it around your head right now, because you're going to need it. Here's a article. Google wants sensors and cameras in every room of your home to watch, analyze you, the patent show. So right up from Terry Webster at The Blaze. Google has patents for smart home devices that can eavesdrop on everything going on in our homes, all under the guise of sending us targeted ads for our quote-unquote convenience. Okay? We already know we're giving it up in our terms of service, right? By buying some of these things, it has it right there. Whatever company may do this or may do that, how many of you actually read the terms of service? And there's no arms raised. Huh. Well, that's weird. No one reads the term. So you don't know how you're having your data and information, your privacy being sold? Wait. And then even in some cases, when you tell it not to do it or you disable the certain features, somehow it still finds a way to get it out there now, doesn't it? So this is what Google is patenting, okay? And their new patent, it states, the company can use smart devices to monitor activities within a smart device environment, report on these activities, and or provide smart device control based on these activities. So the cameras are so sensitive on these things. They want to put a camera in every room of your home to monitor the things you're doing for the convenience of the things you're doing. So let me read this to you. The cameras are so sensitive on these things that, for example, they can identify an image of a movie star on a shirt, and then the image can be matched to the browsing history of that person. And then Google can put two and two together and start advertising you a new movie for that movie star. Wow. Google wants sensors and cameras mounted to every room to follow us and analyze what we're doing throughout the home. Not a chance. What crazy, insane person would do something like that? They would enable Google to put cameras all across their home. What what convenience could possibly outweigh the blatant security violations that will be in your home for a hacker to be able to get to, let alone you giving permission for Google to access these sort of things? That is insane to me. Says, while there are many good uses for adding sensors for home automation, the danger comes when they're being monitored and used by outside companies with a desire to know everything about us. The Atlantic pointed this out. A second patent proposes a smart home system that would help run the household using sensors and cameras to restrict kids' behavior. Parents could program a device to note if it overhears foul language from children, scan internet usage for mature content, or use sensors to determine if certain areas of the house are accessed when they're gone. For example, the liquor cabinet. The system could be set to change smart lighting system color to red and flash lights as a warning to children, and even power off lights and devices when they're grounded. Oh, give me a break. Give me a break. The Atlantic also noted that Google can, even without cameras, use speakers to recognize the noises in your house because they're so sensitive in these things. Now, this is going to be really, really scary. You know what they can do? So they can take these sensors. And the sad thing is there's a lot of these listening devices that are around. Hopefully it's not your cell phone, but there are instances where people are able to tell if data is being sent on their phones, and maybe it is that audio from their phone. Maybe this is another reason why you shouldn't be around a smartphone all the time. But as I get to this next article, smart TVs are another source. Some of these smart TVs have cameras, these microphones built in for voice commands. And what happens when there's a microphone always listening? Well, they might use that and try to pick up keywords and sell it to third parties. So Google's smart home system can infer if a household member is working from an audio signature, such as keyboard clicking. If your keyboard clicking sounds like, you and not someone else, they got it. They got it. Then they know it's you. And then they can start putting a profile together of you. Then they could maybe understand your mood. Oh, he's clicking a little angry today. Huh, I wonder if he's upset. Oh, he raised his voice. Oh, so-and-so's crying. Oh, fridge door's opening. Oh, they're not brushing their teeth as much. Is any of this regulated? Absolutely not. Virtually no laws or oversight to stop these tech giants from prying into your private life. This is so scary. I swear, I am just about had it with technology. As much as I pay attention to it, as great as it can be, this is what happens. I have old TVs. I have old cars. I try to use older things that don't have these sort of sensors and junk inside of them. Things that are easy to repair and don't disable themselves if you try to repair it on your own. I'm at the point where if I have to purchase a new TV or something like that, and it has some sort of, if I know it has a microphone on it and I'll do my research on it, first thing I'm going to do is open that thing up and clip the wires to that microphone. I will not allow it to operate at all. Man, so here's story number two when it comes to your privacy. You ready for this? Says, there's a simple reason why your new smart TV was affordable. It's collecting and selling your data. Oh, wonderful. So next time you go and buy a really cheap TV, just know that the intention for it is that they're cutting the price so you'll buy it so they can use this and gather as much data as it can humanly possibly gather from you. So massive TVs, razor-thin frames, brilliant image qualities. Says, if you want a 65-inch 4K TV, it could be purchased for below $500. Isn't that amazing, the way technology is? Well, they're selling you up the river. The low price comes with it. Data could be used and tell the company what type of shows you watch, which type of ads you watch, what's your location. And even in the cases where there might be a microphone enabled, maybe it's sending some special keywords back as well. One person told The Verge, where this article is coming from, says it's a cutthroat industry, a 6% margin industry. The greater strategy is I really don't need to make money off the TV. I need to cover my costs. More specifically, companies like Vizio don't need to make money from every TV they sell. They said, as a consumer, Vizio was able to monetize those TV through data collection, advertising, and selling direct-to-consumer entertainment, which is less great for consumers. I am just floored. I knew this is the way of the future. I know that's the way people are making up all of their missed monies. But still, I shouldn't have to feel so dirty that when I buy technology, I instantly know I'm going to be at odds with it. Where I'm finding myself forced to always have to track what my TV is doing to me. I had another article. Let me see if I can find it real quick. I had an article of a company that's going to start doing something that may be the most lousy thing ever. Where was it? I don't have it here. But essentially, I think it's one of the satellite providers, Dish or DirecTV or something like that. When you start pausing your live television or whatever it is, it's just going to start playing an ad. Like, instead of it pausing, like freezing on the screen. So if you have live TV and you have the DVR or whatever it is, and you have the ability to pause live television and then fast forward and catch up or do these things, they realize that, oh, this is a great opportunity. When you're pausing it, it means you're not watching the television program. And you know what that means? We can play an ad for you. So as you pause, it'll play an ad. Ugh. Every second, every moment, there's an ad shoved down your throat. You know, we play ads here on this radio station. It's just part of the way free radio works. This is all a service to you for free. We have great advertisers on this radio program that do this sort of thing. But you're telling me that in order for you to purchase a smart TV in the future, you just have to give up all your privacies and it has to mine everything for you as a way to collect this and advertise to you? I mean, that's the only way it's going in the future? It feels so dirty the way they're doing it. It's not that it's non-traditional, it's just dirty. And I don't want my data sold. I don't want it. And you don't have an option to, you just don't have an option to opt out of it. And that's the thing that's the worst. There was another tech thing here. You share your password with anyone? Let me get to this one too. Something pretty popular, sharing a Netflix password. Do you ever share your Netflix with anyone else that's not a husband or a kid? Well, sharing passwords for a video streaming site, soon there's a company that is being hired out there in order to track you down. So here's the idea. You have Netflix. Netflix hires this company, partner with this company. It's a company called Cinemedia. And they analyze their users and they realize, well, wait a minute, this person's probably sharing their password because, you know, they're on the East Coast and the West Coast watching two different types of programmings at the same time. There's no way that the same type of users would do something like that. So they send that back to Netflix and they say, there's a high probability that this person is sharing their passwords and that's not allowed with Netflix. And now it's up to Netflix to decide what they're going to do. You want to know what the crazy thing is? Sometimes sharing passwords can be considered a felony in some cases. I don't know if they've changed the laws since the last time I looked, but basically they consider it hacking. So if there's a company and you're sharing the service and you're not allowed to do that under their terms of agreement, they could raise the cause that this other person that's logging in under someone else's credentials, even if you shared it to them, is hacking into the account. And that could be looked at as a federal crime if they wanted to try to get the authorities involved. I mean, that's one extreme end to it. Now, the article suggests that if you're sharing a password with someone, odds are either they'll just cut your account off or they'll try to upsell you to say, well, if you want to add more users, instead of paying $7.99 a month, how about $12.99 a month? That way you can have extra user and then everyone's happy and then they'll try to make more money off it or something like that. They say that universities, campuses, for example, tend to be the peak sharers, the ones that do it the most. Businesses like AT&T, Comcast, Disney, Verizon, and Sky, Netflix, and HBO Go are all looking towards services like this to find the ones that are infringing. So if you're using someone else's password for anything else, if you are sharing your password with someone else, they're going to find you. You better hide. They're going to find you. It's going to be the bad boys thing right up in you. All right, so coming up, I had a couple of Jim White clips. Maybe this will be a good time to play it. I am enjoying listening back to Jim White. If you are a regular listener of the overnights on KMOX, At Your Service with Jim White. He was on for 30 years, the big bumper. You probably have some great memories of that radio show. I have two things I want to play for you. I do have a couple of samples from his show, but I do have one phone call from his show that I can't tell if it's fake or not. And maybe we'll try to decide together. It's a very slim chance that this was a stage caller, but it sounds like it. So maybe we'll go over that coming up on Overnight America KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. Oh, boy. You know, I was going through the KMOX archives, and I have a lot of fun sharing this stuff with you. And I played the Jack Carney Parade last week. I got some really good feedback from that. I found a couple of Jim White stuff I wanted to play for you. The Big Bumper. I'm still looking for full shows of Jim White. I hope I find it, but I only have a couple of samples so far. So I have a sample of, actually a couple of samples of Jim White, and then I have a caller that called in. And I'll play that next. So how about first we do the samples? One is a person calling in, and then is a commercial Jim White would have aired on the show. So let's do a little bit of both. And if you were a regular Jim White listener, I want you to tell me if this is what you would regularly get from his show. Tell me what the experience was listening to Jim White. Was it like this? I don't know what year this is, but we'll just kind of roll with it.
I wanted to ask you, you were talking about putting your shoes on and that?
Yeah.
I put my socks on.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah.
And then I put my pants on.
Uh-huh.
Then my shirt, then my shoes.
Okay, well, I hadn't really thought about the rest of it. Usually I put my socks on. No, I usually put my pants on, then I put my sock and a shoe, and a sock and a shoe, then a shirt.
Oh, yeah?
Now, would you put a left shoe on or a right shoe first?
Well, I'm left-handed, so my left foot always goes first after I get... Well, I got to get my socks on, it goes...
Yeah, well, but I'm right-handed, and I usually do my left shoe first.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm kind of ambidextrous, you know.
Ambidextrous.
Yeah, okay. I never heard that term before.
I just made it up.
Oh, well, it just sounds like a winner to me.
Okay, well, pay attention now, because if you get these things out of sync, it can ruin your day.
Oh, yeah. Because I gotta get dressed just right before I go to work, you know.
Okay.
There's woe, despair, and there's gloom.
If you have a comment to make about the way I do the program, it's boring, it's of no use to anybody else, and no interest, so let's dismiss it.
Much talk of disaster and doom.
Have you heard a word I have said?
Hey, guys, join me from 11 till 3.
What engine do you have in that Toyota?
I don't know what engine.
Good night.
For happier thoughts, I'll make room.
Hi, this is Jim.
Jim, I think you were rude to that girl.
Good night.
I'm Jim White. I am that which goes bump in the night.
I'm kind of scared to say what I have to say.
Okay. No, I just hung up with the last guy because, never mind why I hung up on it.
Monday through Friday, The Night Side, on KMOX St. Louis.
I like that, Night Side. We're going to have to start using that phrase again, Night Side. I like that. Is that how Jim White's program would normally sound? Dude would call in and they would explain how to put on a shoe. Oh, well, I put on the socks and then I put on pants. Then I put on the shirt. Don't you put shirts on before your pants? Isn't that standard? I thought that you always put the shirt on first and then the pants came after that. Because if you're going to tuck the shirt into the pants, like it's a dress shirt or something like that, you're going to work, then normally you want to pull the pants over the bottom of the shirt, so that's why you pull it up that way. And of course, the last thing you do is you put your shoes on. But then again, if you're putting the socks on at the door, why are you waiting to put your socks on at the door? Wouldn't you put the socks on in the bedroom? I don't know. But maybe that's why that caller stood out. Just one of those little things you just never would have thought to talk about on the radio. Now, I do have one other Jim White caller I was able to find. And it's about a woman that went to a party, and she'll explain all of this in the call, so I don't want to ruin much of it. When I was listening to this, I wondered, is this one of his friends making up a story? Because it sounds a little rehearsed. Someone that listens to a lot of radio My detector for these things are normally, it's pretty sensitive. So when I hear something that could be possibly rehearsed, as in acted out, first thing that goes through my mind is like, yeah, that sounds like it could be phony. I think my detector was going off just a little here. But then again, it doesn't make sense for a Jim White to do something like this. He wasn't one of the types of personalities that A, would need to do something like this, or B, would do something like this, because normally it's the shock jocks or the morning zoos that do these little gimmicky things because, oh, it'll be funny. It'll be a nice bit. It'll be memorable. It'll get the phone lines to light up. We'll get people to call in after something like that. Normally they say something sensational or crazy or, you know, controversial in order to get people to interact with them. So Jim White didn't meet that criteria. So I thought, no, I'm going to dismiss it right there. But still, if this what a regular Jim White show sounded like, man, I really hope I can find more episodes of his. Because, man, is this funny. All right, let me play this from the KMOX archives. Listen to this. This is a long call, by the way, but sit back and relax. Enjoy the ride.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Mr. White.
Yes, it is.
I am furious, and I am going to try my best to tell my story quickly. And I hope there's some way you can help me. Last Saturday night, I went to a party, and this woman, after midnight, it was like a midnight brunch, and this woman served shrimp. The next morning at 7, I get a phone call, and she says, you'd better get to the hospital and have your stomach pumped.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh.
So, I said, what are you talking about? And she said, I have a confession to make to you. And I said, well, go right ahead. And she said, last night, my icebox was so full that I couldn't get the big bowl of shrimp in there. And she told me that she put this bowl of shrimp on her back porch to keep it cool out there.
Mm-hmm.
So help me, this is a true story. When she went out there to get the shrimp, she saw her cat fooling around in this bowl. And he had eaten just a little bit of it. She brought it in, and she served it to us anyway, because that was like the main dish or whatever. The next morning, she's going out, I guess, to get her paper or something. She finds her cat dead on her doorstep. So right away, she thinks, well, it must have been the shrimp. She thought maybe it being on the back porch, not being cold enough, or just plain bad shrimp. So she calls and she says, to play it safe, you better get your stomach pumped. I went to the hospital immediately. They didn't even want to do it. And I insisted. I said, I'm not going to take any chances.
This is the morning after?
I'm at the hospital at 7 in the morning.
And you ate the shrimp about midnight?
It was around 12:30.
Oh, well, okay, go ahead.
That's what they said. They said, you know, time has passed. I said, well, this cat, it could have died 15 minutes ago for all I know, and I'm not taking any chances. And I know for sure four other people did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
This woman calls me the same night at 5 o'clock.
Invited you over for dinner.
She's laughing. She says to me, honey, it was all a big mistake. She says, the guy next door came over a little while ago, and he told me that this morning when he was coming in from work, he hit her cat with his car. And he didn't want to wake her up, so he just put the cat there and thought he'd come over later and tell her. There I went, and I had my stomach pumped, and I called her today, and I don't know what the bill is, but I told her that she's going to have to pay. And she says there were four or five people who had their stomachs pumped, and she's not going to pay. Now, what can I do?
I cross her off my list of...
No, this isn't funny. Now, if you've ever had your stomach pumped, it's the worst experience I've ever had in my life.
I'm quite certain it is. I've never had my stomach pumped.
Well, it's terrible. It's a terrible experience for a child to have to go through, but it was just as bad for me as an adult.
I'll bet.
And I was wondering, do you think maybe, I don't want to sue her or anything, but I want her to pay for my stomach pump. Because I just don't think that...
What would you sue her for?
I don't want to sue her. I mean, she used to be a friend, but I want to get back at her some way. I'm sorry, I don't go along with the Bible.
Why don't you invite her over for dinner?
No, I'm trying to be serious about this. I just was wondering if there's some way I could make her pay that bill. Because I don't have a penny's worth of insurance as far as, you know, hospitals go.
I really, you know, legally, I'm not an attorney, but I just can't see any grounds morally,
well,
I guess.
Well, she supposedly served poisonous food. I mean, I thought that I was poisoned. I mean, she thought her cat died, and she calls up and tells me to get my stomach pumped, and I wasn't going to question it. See, she had to confess then. She wasn't even going to tell us that her cat ate out of the shrimp she served us. She had to tell us, because then she thought she was going to have a bunch of dead people. I'm sorry, I was just upset.
I'd be upset, too, and you'll have to excuse us for laughing, but it's just one of the wildest stories I've ever heard.
Well, that's what people are listening to.
Oh, dear.
It's wild.
I think you ought to sit on it for about a week, and you'll probably start laughing about it, too.
Well, if you ever had your stomach pumped, I don't think you'd say that, but maybe I'll calm down and forget about it. I don't know.
You sound like a good sport.
Well, I don't know.
That's stretching things a little too far.
I think so. Thank you.
Ma'am, thank you for calling.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye-bye now.
Is that what you would expect with Jim White? Would he just come in and say, okay, back in the day, the late night audience and the demographic was a lot different. A lot more people listened to the radio. We're more interactive with that sort of thing at night. And there's a lot of people that listen. We're in 30 plus states. We're reaching border to border. Not quite coast to coast, but border to border. We reach that. And we reach a lot of people. And wherever you are, you know, we connect you with everyone else. That's kind of what we do. It's a live radio program. And we don't get a lot of other live radio programs at night. So there's really no one else connecting you. It is just something we do here. And you know what? It's something we don't take lightly. But man, there's a lot of stories like that out there. And you just hope that one story and that person feels like they can call in. Is that what a typical Jim White show would sound like? I would love to talk to some people that listen to his radio program nightly in. Is that basically what it was? 3 or 4 hours of this, or 2 hours, or whatever, however long he was on the air? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. And, you know, I keep getting these text messages. It's funny. Charles from O'Fallon points out something. He said, Jim White was a blank blank. What? How come I don't hear that all that often? I guess some people didn't like Jim White. Not everyone enjoyed. You know who did text in? Let me message this one from Roy. Roy from Newark, Ohio. A high seat or comfort high toilet is only $179. Really appreciate your show. Thanks. Oh, that's good. Nice to know if I ever decide to put in a high toilet, which makes sense. Right now, we have a four-year-old, so there is a benefit to having a slightly lower-than-average toilet. But then again, it does feel weird when you have a toilet that's too low to the ground. So if you wanted those higher ones, it makes sense, too. I guess we got a couple of varieties of that sort of thing. Now, since we're talking about suing and that Jim White story, man, was that funny. I don't know if it was real. I don't know. To me, my authentic factor was going off. But at the same time, he got a lot of calls like that, which leads me to believe, yes, it was probably very authentic. Talking about suing, here is Action News, ABC out of, I believe this is San Francisco. California family sues Lifetime after family portrait used in movie without permission. This is what a wild story.
Picture this. You're watching a Lifetime Christmas movie. I know you watched a lot of those, but imagine you.
How did you know? Were you spying on me? When I had the family over for Christmas, my in-laws, that's all they wanted to do was watch Lifetime movies. I said, are you serious? You know, we don't see you all that often. You have to drive a long distance from Ohio here to St. Louis. All you want to do is watch Lifetime movies. Well, obviously you can't entertain for the whole time, so there's going to be down times, and they were all into it. The Christmas movie marathon.
See your family's real photograph used as a prop and not in a flattering way. That's what happened to the Allah family, who is now suing Lifetime after they say they were humiliated in the film Christmas Harmony. Here's the scene now where the title character, Harmony, goes to hang their family photo to the wall.
All right, so just like a lot of other families, when you get a Christmas card in the mail, you hang it up somewhere, right? Or you display it on someplace, and you have all the different families that you know and love. They're all up there on display. So here's what's happening in this Lifetime movie. The actress is holding up two pictures, one in her right hand, one in her left hand. I can't quite tell what's in her right hand. It looks like another family photo. But in her left hand, there's another one. It's a man and a woman with a child. So there's, it's kind of a close-up of them on this family Christmas card. Here's what they didn't give. Apparently, they didn't give permission for this to be used on Lifetime, but somehow they got a hold of it. They probably thought it was a stock photo because it looks so professionally done. So they used it in their movie. Listen to how they present this family.
Please don't put those up, babe. They ruin the whole aesthetic of the place.
I like them. They're festive.
They're ugly.
Yep. Ugly.
Oh, no. They're ugly. Ah, what a bummer. You get your picture on television and you get one of these cheers, you know? By the way, I've been holding on to this since 2017. You ain't got no alibi. You ugly. I held on to that song since July of 2017. This is the first time I had a chance to play it. It's been that long since I had an ugly article.
Friends and family called the Alas to say they easily recognized them while watching the film. They quickly filed a lawsuit. They say they only sent out about 50 of those family portraits, but not to anyone who works for Lifetime. No word on how their photo ended up as a prop on the movie set without their permission. The family is suing Lifetime for all of the movie's profits. Still, by the way, no comment from Lifetime.
Couple sues over it. Totally understand. I totally get it. How would you like to be on a Lifetime movie and all of a sudden they get out there and they start their cheer? G-L-Y, you ain't got no alibi. You ugly. Yeah, yeah, you ugly. G-L-Y, you ain't got no alibi. You ugly. Oh, I'd be so angry. You set that out. You're so happy. Your family photo looks so good. My wife makes sure everything's perfect, makes sure the card looks beautiful, sends it out. Oh, great. Lifetime just called you ugly. Great. Let me get to Kim over in O'Fallon. Hey, Kim, what's going on?
Hi. I was just laughing also at that little song that you just played. That family wasn't even ugly, so I don't know why they said that.
No, but they looked like a pleasant family.
Right. I was going to say that the Jim White shows that you played are dead on to what that show was.
Really? It was hilarious. That one call was great.
Well, and I thought that was going to be a different call, which I'll tell you in just a second. But what I was going to say is part of the success of that show was that had a listenership of a lot of seniors and widows and widowers that, I mean, that was helped a lot to keep them less lonely.
Huh.
But and to keep them company.
Really? So would he play that up? Would he say this is for you?
No. He just, but you could tell by the people that called in, a lot of it was with seniors that had either lost a spouse or were lonely, and he made a big difference in their life in that way by helping keep them company, kind of like Meals on Wheels visitors and things like that.
Aw, Jim White was the radio version of Meals on Wheels. I don't think he would have liked
that. People in hospitals and nursing homes as well.
You think he would have liked that description of his show?
Absolutely.
You think so? Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah. He used to have a dating thing, too, before there was online dating. There was a Jim White, and I don't remember the name of it, but on Saturday nights, you would call in, and you would give everybody would be assigned an anonymous three-digit number, and then people would be connected together.
He did a phone thing? I thought it was just caller-driven, where people would call in, and he'd connect them manually, but he actually did a deal where you can get the code and be directed towards
someone. Well, you know how you have dating videos?
Yeah.
There used to be dating videos. People would call and basically describe themselves and what they were looking for and things like that. And he'd give them a number and then he'd say, okay, anybody who wants to talk to number such and such, call our control board and we will give you that number.
Wow. Did you ever call in Jim White for the dating show?
Oh, I did once. I did, but it was a different discussion. He was talking about, they were talking about the arch and people were talking about being afraid of heights. And the only call I made was he said he had heard somewhere about the arch swaying. And I had called and said that that was true. There's a tolerance of like a foot to a foot and a half to help it withstand like up to 120 mile an hour winds or something like that.
Oh, it's got to be higher than 120 mile an hour, I'd hope.
But you can be up there. The legs go underground equal height to what they go in the air, which is like 610 or 670 feet, something like that.
Yeah, 630, I thought it was. Really?
Yeah,
that
you're
goes
right.
that
you're
deep?
Right. It is
wow,
sister.
That's insane.
So the legs are that deep underground as well.
That's really holding it in, isn't it?
Anchoring it, yeah. But it sways a good foot and a half, and it does that by design because it gives rather than breaks.
Yeah, all those high buildings will do something like that. It makes sense. All right, so you called into Jim White on that. We only got about 20 seconds left. Is there anything else?
So the other call was that I thought that was going to be. There was a lady who called and complained that someone she knew had an accident at deer crossing, and she said, why do they put deer crossings on streets that are like 40 to 50 miles an hour? They should pick up a spot that's really low speed to have a deer
crossing.
That's
funny.
And the hosts were just going crazy.
That's hilarious.
Kind of like the same thing.
Very good, Kim. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
This is Overnight America on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.